the three attributes of God. And this is not to say that these are the only attributes of God, because there are others, but we're going to be looking at the three attributes of God. And we're looking at these omni attributes of God. These are quite key figures. So the first one we'll look at is God's omniscience, which just means all-knowing. God knows everything, is aware of the past and the present and the future. His omnipresence. He's all-present, capable of being everywhere at the same time. And omnipotent, all-powerful. Omni meaning all, so these are Latin words. So the word omni just means all, and then when you add the prefix to it, or the word to it, it's the potent, which just means power. And in doing so, I want us to be able to kind of see and understand and know a little bit more about God and how he is and how we relate to him because of these power, because of these characteristics of God. And let's, the first one I will start with. So the first one I want to start with is his omniscience. And as I said, God's omniscience is him all-knowing, him all-powerful. It's important that we understand God's power and knowledge, because it gives us confidence, actually, so that whenever we're faced with a situation, we will be able to rely on all of these attributes of God. So God's knowledge is not like our knowledge. Our knowledge, we end up going to have to go to school to get an education. So we start in infancy, we then grow through the schooling system, we acquire certificates, qualifications, we continue to add to our abilities and skill sets through learning, we get master's, doctorates, and then after we finished all of that, we then go in to actually start working. And then even that, after getting all the qualifications, we still go through a process of learning through actually getting hands-on experience. God doesn't need any of that. God's knowledge is perfect. God doesn't grow in knowledge. He has all knowledge. There's nothing he doesn't know. I mean, I remember when I was younger, and I'm sure some of you guys may have experienced this as well. Give me a thumbs up if you had encyclopedias. I had a whole wall of encyclopedias. And I was excited about the encyclopedia because I knew I was not going to get through everything in there. I mean, but it was just... And then my mum thought, there was different ranges of encyclopedias. You had encyclopedias for kids and you had encyclopedias for as you get older. My mum had prepared it all and she bought the entire rack so that I would grow in knowledge. Because she understood equipping me with the knowledge would actually prepare me and better have me prepared for the life that I'm going to go and live. Now, and then we've kind of come on some years. Those encyclopedias are done with because we have the World Wide Web. And soon after that came Google. Google became our new resource of searching knowledge and understanding that wasn't in books. Of course, we still read books and so forth, but it helped do away with the encyclopedia. God is far much more extensive than Google, than any encyclopedia book. And it's in that knowledge that we should be able to be more comforted. In Psalms 147 and 5, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. He has infinite knowledge." And it's because of this that we then should find comfort, that we know that we don't have to rely on our mistakes. he actually says, lean not on your own understanding, because he's aware that we're infallible. We're not perfect. We will get it wrong. But he's made a way where he says there seems to be no way. Let me share this scripture with you. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or has his counselor has informed him? Or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult? And who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? No one. It's just great to know that. It's almost like you've got Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you get to the part of the question where you got an answer that you can't answer, and then they give you the option to phone a friend. Well, this friend that we have is God. His omniscience, his ability to know all things, should actually give us trust. Should actually allow us to know that we don't have to rely on ourselves to know everything, but we can rely on him. Not only does he have the knowledge of present and past, but he also has foreknowledge. In Isaiah 42 in verse 9, it says, behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Before things have happened, God is aware of it. He says, before you've even prayed and opened up your mouth to pray, I already know what you're going to say. God knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows your dislikes, your strengths, your weaknesses, your greatest joys, and the greatest pains experienced by you. And in doing so, we can basically find that God is, and this is why he's able to comfort us. And sometimes it's hard to kind of actually acknowledge that Jesus is able to feel the pain that we have because he's God and this, that, and the other. But there's a part of me that thinks that, I don't know, maybe the fact that he went on the cross, maybe his experience of coming to earth and going through the tribulations that he did with man, the same people he created, whipped, bruised, spat at him, ridiculed him, but yet he remained calm and didn't respond because of the knowledge of who he is, because of the calling of his life. And through him dying on the cross, he can now actually feel the pain that we've gone through. He can now experience what it is to understand why is it we're discomforted in certain things. And in the knowledge of that, we can actually rest assured that God will always come through for us, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how things look, and regardless of where we may think God is not knowing. As I said, he has foreknowledge. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head, they all number. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. I mean, that's how much knowledge God has. I know for some of us, you know, numbering the strands of hair we have on our head, it won't take him too long. But he is able, he knows that much about you. He's that interested in you. Do you even know how many strands of hair you have on your own head? No. He took that much detail and attention to actually know about you, to want to hear from you, to want to see. And it's just astonishing just to hear, just to know that someone is that interested in you that they would number the number of strands you have on your head. And as I said, that knowledge and desire for you, no one else has. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Look, this just says to me, look, regardless of the circumstance you're in, wherever you are, I place you in a specific time for a specific reason. You may not be able to see it, but I guarantee you, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. There's a scripture that says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. And that's the trust that we can have in God. Is that not only does God know about the past, as we see with Moses, he took Moses up to the Mount Sinai and then showed him everything that happened in the beginning of time. But obviously does not God know everything about the present, but he also knows everything about the past, about the future as well. Does anyone have this type of wisdom? No. We don't. But the thing is, we think about that. We don't have that ability, but yet I've said God is cool. I've got knowledge now. I've done search the encyclopedias. Okay, four out of the 400 books that my mum did buy. I've checked Google. I now have wisdom to go and make choices on what it is that I should do tomorrow, in fact, for the next year and the following years. Why would you do that when you've got someone who has infinite knowledge? So we make choices based on today and yesterday. God has already known what's going to happen tomorrow. So with that being said, would it not be more wiser to trust someone that has all that wisdom and all that knowledge? We're making choices that really and truly we have no idea what the end will be, whereas God has already said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. So let's rely trust in the fact that he is all knowledgeable. His omniscience is real. And God wants us to experience this omniscience. And that only happens when we trust in the fact that he has all of this knowledge. Now, I want us to talk about God's omnipresence. It's important that we actually realize, and as I said, omnipresence, he is all present. Present everywhere, at all times. And it's important that we actually understand that God is with us everywhere. Actually, let me just share this scripture with you. Psalms 139, 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely, the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Wow. Wow. That scripture always grips me. He's saying there is nowhere you can go in your life. And when I say, I'm not necessarily meaning about location. I'm also talking mentally. I'm also speaking here spiritually. He said, there is nowhere you can go that I will not be able to take you back from. I will not be with you. And I know sometimes it's hard to actually understand with all the atrocities that happen and this, that, and the other. How is God able to see? How is God able to know but allow? But the thing is, we know that God has given us free will. And if he dealt with every single thing that basically was, you know, that had atrocities in it, that was bad, we wouldn't have free will. Unfortunately, he has to allow us to have the free will to do what's good and what's bad. And I honestly believe, and I know, that God will repay every good thing and every bad thing that's happened to us or to others. And actually, if you read in Matthew chapter 11, I think from verse 21, Jesus talks about him going to a particular nation or area, and he says, look, he's talking to the Jews, but he said, had this word and this message been preached to this other group of people, this other nation, they would have heard the word and repented. And he talks about three other groups of people that would have heard the word, or two other groups of people that would have heard the word and repented. You know what that tells me? Is that God knows every eventuality. There's a film, a Marvel film. I can't remember, some of you Marvel fanatics might be able to help. Doctor Strange is the guy. He, in one of the Marvel films, I think they're losing a battle of some sort, and they've got this really big bad villain. I've forgotten his name. Again, you Marvel girls, Marvel fanatics can help me with it. The Avengers, thank you. What's the bad dude in the Avengers? Yeah, anyway, him. He is about to destroy the world. And Doctor Strange, who has the ability, Thanos, thank you. The bad guy's name is Thanos. The Doctor Strange, what he does is, they're about to lose. And he says, okay, I need to travel in time. So he starts traveling in time. And what he does, Thanos. So he looks at every eventuality of how they're about to lose this battle. He goes back in time, he goes in future and past. And he decides that the best way for us to win this battle is to actually give Thanos, the enemy, what it is that he wants. And nobody can understand why. Even the person that taught Doctor Strange didn't understand why. But she said, he is meant to be the best of us. So if he's suggested that we give the enemy, Thanos, the same thing that's going to destroy us, then I'm willing to trust the knowledge of Doctor Strange, who has the ability to travel through time. No one else understood why, apart from that one individual. Why would you give the ability to destroy the whole world and it, or destroy it, we don't know what he was going to do at that time, destroy us, and he ended up destroying half the world and killing everyone. Why would you do that? And sometimes we may have questions for God like that, and why would you allow this to happen? How has this happened? And fact is, we have to rely on his omniscience. He's all knowledge, he's foreknowledge. His omnipresent ability. He actually says, listen, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I honestly believe if God was to actually show, well, in fact, we wouldn't even be able to fathom, or we wouldn't be able to gain knowledge that God has. We can't comprehend him. So I'm saying, let's trust a God that not only sees our past and our present, but he also understands our future and knows the future. I mean, we can look at many different people in the Bible that have faced atrocity, but God, what the enemy designed and planned for your bad and for your end, God will turn and use for his glory. But we've got to trust in his omniscience, his foreknowledge. We've got to trust in his omnipresence, that time does not hold God. God is able to live outside of time. He's present everywhere, and there is nowhere God is excluded from. For me, that gives me comfort that regardless of the situation I'm in, regardless of the situation that I put myself in, he's still with me. And we know he's a merciful God, so he's able to forgive. And this is what we should all gain from this, is that God's presence and all this, his abilities should give us comfort. Psalms 46:1 says, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." There you go. He's ever-present. I know it may feel like sometimes it's not. He's not present. I know many of you have heard the poem of the cat where God carried me and there was only one footprint in the sand and it was complaining and so forth. And sometimes it may feel like that. That you're only seeing your own footprint in the sand. Like it's just you on your own. But God's carrying you. It wasn't your footprint, it was his. God doesn't catch up with us. Imagine having a race with God. That doesn't make no sense. I know that sounds so stupid. Bolt ain't got nothing on God. He will break every record. God is faster than the speed of light. He is the light. You can't time God. That's crazy. Just trying to think about that. If you think about that, can you give time God in a race? That doesn't make no sense. He is the beginning and the end. How do you even fathom time in that way? Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you." So he's already gone ahead of us. He will be with you. So he's not only gone ahead with you, he's with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God is with you at the same time as he's gone ahead of you. He is omnipresent. Just fathom that for a minute. He's with you at the same time as being in front of you. God has no limitations. Time does not hold God. You serve a God that is outside of time. Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 10. "Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is none and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." God will establish us. He's not a God that is constrained to time. He's not a God that is constrained to what we understand or how fast we are. As I said, he's gone. He's not only with us, he's gone before us. God is all-knowing and all-present. He's with us at all times and he knows all things. Next point I want us to look at is God's omnipresence. God's omnipresence. And that just means God's all powerful. And it's important that we actually understand that God is all powerful, right? God has no one that can stop him from doing what he wants. We just read actually in the scripture previously. God can orchestrate all things, even though it may not seem so. God reigns sovereign, regardless of who is in power, who is our president, who is our prime minister, who's the governor, local authorities. God says he controls all things and he holds all things together. God is self-consistent. God can't lie either. All of this should give you the knowledge and the understanding that all that you're going through, all that you're yet to go through, God is going to reign sovereign over it. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nowhere that he isn't. And there's nothing that he can't do because he is powerful. This scripture in Isaiah 46 verse 5 says, with whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? God, no one ain't got nothing on God. That's what he's just saying. Yeah, you can't touch me. I need you to understand that there's nothing to come or has come or yet to come that is as great as I am. And in doing so, we can trust God. Psalms 113, 4-6 says, the Lord is exalted over all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord, our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and 6 verse says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that none is able to withstand you. And that, my brothers and sisters, should give us again more comfort and knowledge that whoever is in governorship was placed there by God. When we pray that the saints that live on the land should, or we pray for the government because of the saints that live on the land, so that we may be fruitful, so that we may be prosperous, God has actually placed us in those circumstances and in those places so that we can continue to pull down his power on earth and pray for our governments and pray for our leaders and pray for our local leaders. So that, as we've seen here, that whatever he wants, however he wants it, can be done. I mean, Jesus said it in the prayer, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's understand that we can trust God through his power, through everything that he's doing and is yet to do. I'll just read another verse actually. Isaiah 46. Actually, let me share this. So Isaiah 46, verses 6-7. Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into gold, into a god. And they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place and there it stands. From that spot, it cannot move. Even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. Cannot save them from their troubles. Let's praise God that we serve an awesome and mighty God. We're not worshipping a God who was made by human hands. We're not worshipping a God who was actually made. We're serving a sovereign God, an almighty, all-powerful God. The same things that they're using, they've carved out and made this, that, and the other for, or they've called, they're going to work. In fact, they're worshipping the things that God has made. They'll go and worship the sea. They'll go and get a piece of wood, carve out a God, and call it their God. Whereas we have a God that answers. We have a God that made a... The Bible says that he threw the star, he breathed the stars into existence. He named them. The galaxy cannot contain our God. That's how great and powerful the God it is that we serve. Jesus, there's a point in the Garden of Gethsemane when they come for Jesus and they say to him, which one of you is Jesus? And he says, I am. And as he says, I am, everybody around falls to the ground. Because when he declares that I am, he's actually declaring that he is God. In the same way that when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, he says, I am. Jesus also said, I am. Everyone fell. That's how powerful God is. God doesn't get tired. Okay, the Bible said that God said that God rested on the seventh day. It wasn't because he was tired. It's because he was finished. He didn't make nothing else after the seventh day, right? He's finished. He weren't tired. God is self-consistent. He won't lie. And he can't die. He can't be burnt like other gods can. He can't be melted down like other gods can. He's not deaf like other gods are. And God that we serve, we can trust that all things that he does worketh out for good. The whole earth is knit together. You are knit together. The galaxies are knit together by him. And it's amazing that you and we have the opportunity to serve, not only have the only opportunity to serve, but we also have the Holy Spirit that will have him and his kingdom live within us. Count that as a privilege. Count that as a blessing. Carry these thoughts with you. Carry this understanding with you. That God is your all. He is the I am that I am. He is everything you need, everything you will need, and everything you're going to need. And with that being said, with God's knowledge, foresight, and power, should we be leading our own life? I mean, should we really? I mean, that's like giving my 3-year-old, you know, autonomy, all authority over my life and giving it to her and say, yeah, I will do anything you want me to do. And live the rest of my life according to your own wisdom and your knowledge. I'm sure my teeth would fall out because I would have a whole lip of sweets and sugar. I would be the size of a house because all she wants to do is sweets and sugar and ice cream. I wouldn't do anything because all she wants to do is foolishness and play YouTube games and so forth. So, should we really be leading our own life with the fact that we don't have infinite knowledge? We're not present now and in the future and in the past, and we're not all powerful. Should you allow anybody else to rule and live your life? No. I want to leave you with these 5 key takeaways. 1, we can trust him to overcome everything. God will overcome everything. We can trust that He has made the best choice for our lives, even though it may not look or feel like it. He will comfort us. The knowledge of His omni attributes should give us all comfort, knowing that He knows all things, past, present, and in the future, knowing that He is consistent with it as well, knowing that He is present everywhere, knowing that He is all powerful should give us comfort. He will not leave us. And last but not least, He knows everything about you. And it's knowing everything about you. I said, in numbers of strands of hair you have in your head, you don't even know how many strands of hair you have in your head. That's how well He knows you. Why should I really and truly have autonomy to, or why should, no, in fact, God gives us the choice to have autonomy over our lives. He says, you want to run your life? Remember, I created it. I created it. So I know I'm omnipresent. So I live outside of time. I'm all powerful, omnipotent, and an omniscient, knowing everything. I will come and live in you and actually reform you and shape you into the image of myself if you allow me to. Or you can run your life yourself. You're not, you're not having finite wisdom or knowledge. You're fallible. And you can't decree anything that I don't allow you to. So, I want us to all understand now that we can trust God. We can rely on God. God is an amazing God. He is an amazing God, and He's called you here today. He's called me here today. Every single one of us, in the time that we live in the circumstance that we find ourselves in, to know Him. Actually, I want to pray for those that don't know Him. I want to actually pray the prayer of salvation. So those that don't have a relationship with Christ, or feel that they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or actually just want to actually say the prayer of salvation again, just to kind of feel refreshed. Please repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and on the third day rose again through the workings and the power of the Holy Spirit. And through that power, I now believe that you are the Son of God. And through your death, I am saved. I welcome you into my life. I ask that you reform, that you reshape me, and I allow you to come into my heart. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life, that you may transform me into your image, and that you may take me into your kingdom. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. Thank you.